He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Wednesday afternoon, March 25th. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you live here at this 3 o'clock hour. Phil Bonatti, yours truly, here for the next hour and a half as we take you up to Giants baseball, Giants Yankees opening day. Pregame starting at 4:35, first pitch at 5:05. We are here live, like I said, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We're also live on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website as well as the ESPN Fresno app. Be sure to download that today. Big thanks to Tony D tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show Sportsline Bulldog Hour from 2 to 3 p.m. My show from 3 to 6 normally. And Paul Metter Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday from First String Sports. Leeds Air Hotline is how you reach us, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on our show, 559-320-1430. Way to get a hold of us. The Leeds Air Weather Check sitting at 84 degrees today. Could get up to 85. We'll be at 80 tomorrow, a little cloudy tomorrow. Back up into the high mid to high 80s for the weekend, and then we will see the hammer drop with temperatures all next week, including some precip potentially on the horizon there. So that's your Lee's Air Weather Check, brought to you by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We got a big show for you today, and the big announcement news item of the day, Fresno State announcing a partnership with Bulldog Sports Enterprise, which is essentially reforming the way media is done with Fresno State, which we're excited to be a part of. ESPN Fresno, soon to be officially announced as the new home for the Fresno State Bulldogs starting in July. So we're very excited for that announcement, and we had a press conference today. Not our usual start to our show, but I wanted to get you all the information you needed to hear. If you missed the press conference earlier today at Fresno State, Garrett Classy and our own Chris Pacheco sitting in front of the media today to talk about this new venture for Fresno State. And we'll break it down after we air this press conference. But I'm very excited about this announcement. And you should be, as fans, very excited about this announcement for Fresno State. The key thing to think about, how local this is going to be for Fresno State now. No outside voices. It's all here in Fresno, and the impact that that's going to have for Fresno State athletics. But I'm going to let, as they say, you hear it from the horse's mouth. So I'm just going to kick off this press conference that we had earlier today. Here is Garrett Classy and Chris Pacheco, plus the media members with questions afterwards. Here is our press conference introducing Bulldog Sports Enterprise.
Good. Thanks for coming here today. This is a very important day for Fresno State Athletics, and one that I'll tell you we've been very intentional about. Today, this is really about positioning Fresno State for the future. As we know, college athletics has been changing daily. And I've been very, very stern about that we are going to attack these challenges head on. This is not something that is a detriment to our growth. This is something that can be an advantage for us and a competitive advantage at this. So why are we doing this? Well, between NIL, revenue sharing, transfer portal, rising costs, the old model doesn't work the way that it used to. And we have a responsibility not just to keep up, but lead. We want to lead. We're Fresno State. We don't just rest on our laurels, sit back and wait for things to happen. We go out and we attack. That's how this valley was built. That's how this valley is always going to be, is based on grit and hard work, and that's what we're going to do here at Fresno State. But part of this as well is making sure that all of our revenue areas, from corporate sponsorships, ticketing, fundraising, premium seating, and NIL are aligned and working together. Those of you that have had conversations with in this room, we've talked frequently about we need to be more like a pro sports model. What we can't have is one of our great sponsors, benefactors, donors, ticket purchasers to have five different meetings. We need to have one meeting and really capitalize on all the revenue streams so that our fans, our sponsors, our donors, they feel good about giving to Fresno State. They should feel good about giving one gift to Fresno State instead of saying no to one entity and or the three entities and saying yes to the other. So we want people to feel loved and feel like they're part of this family. You know, I'd like to go in real briefly on some of the core pillars and reasons why we did this. Number one, I would say, is the control. We believe Fresno State should control its brand, its assets, and its future. One thing that I've been very stern about in my 30-plus years in college athletics is that I believe a university's most valuable asset is its IP. You should not be selling out your IP. And it's even more important now when we have student athletes that need to monetize their name, image, and likeness to be able to get marketing deals throughout the Central Valley. And now we have the ability to do that without paying an exorbitant fee to a third party to make have them access our university IP. Number two is flexibility. We need the ability to move quickly, adapt quickly, and take advantage as opportunities as they come. Yeah, I don't know at this point what the future looks like for our football stadium, but I do know that we're working on it daily. And to be able to control the naming rights of the current facility, and let me start out by saying Valley Children's Hospital is an incredible partner. We're not, you know, don't start some story that we're trying to replace them. These are great partners, they're great people, and we love the partnership we have with them. But the reality is that the naming rights for not just a stadium or the areas around it are critical to the financial piece of getting something built or something renovated, and we want to make sure that we control that flexibility. Entering a 10 to 15 year deal with someone, well, I'm going to be out of a job in 10, 15 years if we don't have something done to the football stadium, whether renovated or new. So that's irrelevant. We have to control the flexibility so we have that financial freedom in the future. The last piece is the alignment. You know, I talked about this earlier. This model allows us to better align all of our revenue streams. I want Tyler Mariucci and Ryan O'Rourke to be able to go to meetings together and feel good about coming back to meetings. If they're going into a Valley business, one may have the priority of tailgating and hosting their sponsors, hosting their clients, hosting their customers. Others may just want to give the scholarships to support Fresno State student athletes. But those conversations should be had together. And I want to make sure that we have alignment moving forward. And then the local alignment, right? One of the things I really underestimated when we made this move at Nebraska is how much local businesses like writing checks back to the university and not to a third party that's located in some other area. They want to know that their money is going back, their hard-earned money and their resources are going back to support Fresno State student athletes. And having this local alignment matters. And then the last piece would be the growth. This is about creating more opportunity, more creativity, more partnerships, and ultimately more resources for our student athletes. And one of the things that I like about moving to this model with Bulldog Sports Enterprises is that Chris and I have already had multiple conversations on not just the bottom line, but how does this impact fan experience? In fact, I love the idea that he's bringing to the table. And I know that the Red Wave is going to see some considerable differences at our football games and our basketball games, at all of our sporting events moving forward. And that's important. That is something that in my first 2 years here, that I know that we need to improve. And it doesn't fall on our marketing office. They have probably the smallest budget in College One Athletics when it comes to in-game experience. We need to find new creative ways to really enhance our student experience and our fan experience at all of our events. And we plan on doing that. So this is really important, and these are the main reasons why we're making this change. Why did we choose Bulldog Sports Enterprises and Chris Pacheco? Very simply, I don't know those of you that have met Chris. I'm sure everyone has. He's been in this town a lot longer than me. But this guy is a Bulldog through and through. I mean, I don't know when the call happened, Chris, but I know that Coach Tedford called you at some point in 2022 and said, Chris, we're falling behind in this arms race in college athletics. I need you to start a collective. I need you to help out Fresno State football. What does Chris Pacheco do? I see some of the people in here. I see Jim Hillscamp. I see Brian Richburg, Brian Panish, you name it. He got the business leaders of this town together and started a collective to help Fresno State football. He wasn't making money off this collective. He did this out of the goodness of his heart. There is not a man that cares more deeply about these Bulldogs than Chris Pacheco. There's not a man that has been more successful in radio, in a signage company, a guy that has a passion. I don't want to get him to start crying before he's going to cry through his remarks because that's how much he loves these Bulldogs. But this is someone, I want someone that is going to wake up every morning and think about how do we make the Bulldogs better? This place deserves that. This valley deserves that. And that's what we found with Chris Pacheco. And you got to have more than just passion. You have to have a relentless effort towards success. And this guy has not failed in anything he's ever done in life. And I know he's not going to start at age 60. I think that's how old you are. Is that right? Did I get
62.
That right? 62. He's not going to start at age 62. So we have a true alignment and a true partnership. And today we're excited to announce our new partnership with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. And I'll turn it over to Chris Pacheco.
Well, I really appreciate everybody being here. I know you all think I'm going to cry, but I'm not. And I'm going to do my best not to, Nico. So
I'm calling your bluff.
You're going to lose those odds. But literally, you know, I'm elated, excited, waited 20 years for this moment. I'll start with this. Fresno State means a lot to me. I came here from L.A. to play football for Jim Sweeney. And like a lot of guys, he changed my life. Once you're here, you feel it. The people, the pride, the way this valley rallies around this place, it's just different. And I've been here ever since. Built my life here, built my businesses here. So getting a chance to partner with this university is something I take very seriously, and I consider it a privilege. This is an exciting change for Fresno State and the Valley. And what we're doing with Bulldog Sports Enterprises is pretty simple. We're going to do things differently. We're going to build this the right way. Valley first, Fresno State first. That means more, being more connected to the community, working with the businesses that believe in this place, creating partnerships that have meaning and provide value. It also means taking a hard look at how we show up for our fans. We've got a great fan base here. We always have, but there's more we can do. We can refresh the experience, make it better, make it something people are excited to be a part about, be a part of, and not just on game days. We're going to invest in new ideas, new opportunities, and we're going to be really willing to try things that maybe haven't been done here before. That to me is a critical piece, being willing to try something different. Jim Sweeney used to say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. So it's time for us to make some changes, and I'm excited about that. We're going to build a team that reflects all of that. People who understand the Valley, people who care about Fresno State, people who are going to roll up their sleeves and go to work. I want to take a moment to introduce Ryan O'Rourke, our new Vice President, General Manager, and the rest of our staff, Nico, Enrique, Carter, Joe, Phil, everybody that's here. Really appreciate everybody being here. It's going to be an exciting team that's going to go out and grind it every day, just like the blue-collar mentality that we have in this valley. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about. Doing right by this university, doing right by this community, and making sure Fresno State is in a position to move forward and compete at the very highest level. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we're ready for it. Thank you, and go Dogs.
You know,
pay up, Nico.
One final message. The one thing that's really important to me and why we want to do this thing locally, there's a lot of reasons as we discuss, but you know, I have a quick message to Valley businesses. This is your opportunity to get in, big or small. The one thing that I will always say is that with our move to the Pac-12, our visibility increases. Every football game is going to be in at least 60 million homes. We had 3 men's basketball games on national TV last year. A majority of our games are going to be on national TV this year in at least 60 million homes. We had zero women's basketball games on national TV. We'll probably have 7 to 10 women's basketball games on national TV this year. This is about visibility. The exposure has never been greater. The stakes have never been higher with us going in the Pac-12. And if you own a business and you don't have an allegiance to Fresno State, I guarantee your customers do. Because when 83% of our college graduates stay in this valley, they are buying products from your business. You need to invest. There's no greater way to get reach for your business than giving the Fresno State Athletics. And if you don't want to support Bulldog Sports Enterprises, give to the Valley Co-op. Help us retain, recruit, and develop some of the best student athletes, because you can tell, if you looked at the coaches we've hired since I've been here, they are recruiting the heck out of this valley. Everyone wants, well, this is valley born, valley bred. Well, you know what? We're doing our part. We need businesses to step up to do their part, because the future is bright here. We have an incredible president. We have a transformational president that believes in athletics, that believes in this university, that has only worked at Fresno State. So it's time. The stakes are risen. It's not a cheap move to the Pac-12, so we need the community to do their part. There's no better time than now. We're strategically positioning ourselves for the future, so we want everyone to be able to jump on board and be a part of what we're doing. It doesn't matter how you want to support us. There are ways for every person, every business to support Fresno State Athletics and our incredible student athletes moving forward. So thank you, and we're happy to take any questions that you may have at this time.
Hey guys, Dylan Morgan, KC24, CBS 47. Good morning to both of you. So you talk about moving to a pro model, but this area is very keen on, like you said, retaining local guys, developing them. How do you try to balance both of those things when sometimes bringing in outside guys can kind of go against that at the same time?
You talking about student athletes,
yes.
Dylan?
Yes.
Well, I mean, listen, once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog, right? I mean, I've only been here 20 months, and I consider myself a Bulldog for life, because this better be my last stop in my journey. So I think being a Bulldog, being a Fresnan, isn't about where you're born. It's about the values that you bring with you. I forget who I was talking. I think I was talking to Chris Morse about this at an event last week. Like, it's not a right just because you're born here. It's what you do. It's the type of kid you recruit. And if you look at some of these young men, I'll use Coach Entz as an example. You know, he's recruiting a lot of kids from Omaha, Nebraska. Well, I spent 4 years in Lincoln. I've always said this is a Midwestern town in the middle of California, because it instills the same values that we learned growing up in the Midwest. And so, yeah, do we want to be able to watch the young men and women that we saw playing at the Clovis schools, at the Fresno schools, at any of these great Valley schools? Sure. But it's about, once these kids get here, do they stay here? Do they contribute to this valley? And that's what we're looking for. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll lift up the hood a little bit on the agreement here. But our agreement is an 80-20 net profit share with Bulldog Sports Enterprises, with a greater profit share on some of the premium assets that the NCAA are allowing us to sell now. And that would be a 90-10 split for field logos, for jersey patches, field aprons. I think I hit them all from our deal. And so for us, we have equal skin in our game. We're betting on ourselves. And there's no other person I'd rather go to battle with than Chris and his team. And, you know, part of my belief through this business and seeing it from all angles is that I think the old way of doing business in college athletics is a little bit broken, because how it would be set up is that a school would get a guarantee and there'd be a huge hurdle getting the revenue share. And once you have that guarantee, the school's not invested in opening up new categories to sell, because that hurdle to get the revenue share was so far that it's like, well, what are we bending over backwards for to do that? And then the third-party rights holder would then go out, and they would go out and say, well, we're gonna sell everything and anything because you're not working with us. And that's not attributed to our partnership in Fresno. That's a holistic view of the whole thing. And so how do you get both people invested, both sides invested? It's going to battle together. We want upside. And one of the things this does is this opens up categories on campus as well, too. This isn't just athletics. Campus is going to be more willing, because businesses want access to our graduates. They want access to our alumni. They want access to the current student body. We're going to have the ability to do all those things by keeping this thing local and doing a quasi-in-house model.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Pacheco, Athletics Director, Classy, David Taub with GV Wire. So this move mean that the games will now be heard on Fat Dogs Broadcasting, the ESPN brand?
Hopefully. Yes.
Okay, I mean,
yes. Yeah. 1430 ESPN will be the flagship station. We're creating a network into Bakersfield, San Luis, and Stockton as well. And I'm currently working with a couple of Spanish broadcasters and an ex-dog, Jose Elgoriaga, back there to create a Spanish network as well.
And Paul Lethler will remain the voice of the Bulldogs?
If he'll have me.
That's good.
I sure hope so. We worked together for 10 years previously, and I'm excited to have Paul and Coach and the team back. It's going to be a lot of fun.
With the new enterprise, are contributors and alumni and other sponsors, are they going to kind of have a say in, you know, coaches? I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about Vance Wahlberg. Mr. Classy, can you say what the status of Mr. Wahlberg is? Do you plan to retain him for next year?
Vance Wahlberg is our basketball coach, and he will be for next year, absolutely. I don't know. I think the fans always have a voice with how they purchase tickets, how they donate to programs. They're not in my office helping the president and I make decisions. But, yes, the fans have a voice, and they always will have a voice moving forward. It's quite evident. So that's not a Fresno State thing. That's everywhere in sports. So they're always going to have their voice, whether it's through message boards, buying tickets, or whatever.
Garrett, there's probably a lot of fans that come to games and maybe have not even thought about this side of the business. Is there maybe a kind of a layman's term description of exactly what this encompasses?
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, it's keeping our corporate sponsorships logo. All the advertising, all the businesses that you see that advertise with Fresno State Athletics, now we're having a model that we're not working with a third party that controls our intellectual property, which for that, those don't know, is our logos and our marks, and we're keeping that in-house, and now it's more of a collaboration, more of an agency model where Chris and his team will go out and sell to local businesses.
Is there any risk that maybe puts you at pause with this decision in terms of going forward with it?
You know, there's always risk when you're betting on yourself. But the one thing I'll tell you is that we had every single major multimedia rights company in the country bid on this property. So it wasn't like this was a fallback plan. This is what we chose to do. And quite honestly, there were some guarantees in those deals. But at the end of the day, as I mentioned earlier, Fresno State is not going to take a backseat to anyone. And I personally don't feel that they valued this property the way we value it at Fresno State. So what do? You build it up into what you think it should be. And if they don't feel that way, then I'm not doing business with people that don't believe in the future of this place. And I'm not signing a 15-year deal. The president's not signing a 15-year deal with companies that don't believe in Fresno State. We're done taking 50 cents on the dollar. I inherited some revenue contracts here that are just horrendous. I have no other way to put it. And, you know, David wants to talk about Coach Wahlberg. Well, Coach Wahlberg's issues aren't Coach Wahlberg's. We need to fix the infrastructure in this place. And this is one key step in fixing the infrastructure of our revenue of Fresno State moving forward. And that's going to be key. No hesitation. It's just that, you know, Chris and I were riverboat gamblers. But we don't do that just because we want this press conference here, just because we got some nice tweets from national media and TV. We're going to make decisions at Fresno State that we feel are best for Fresno State. Only time will tell if these are the best decisions. But it's not because there wasn't a thoughtful process and not because we're not going to work our butts off to make sure we make an athletic department that makes this entire Central Valley proud.
I would add that during this entire process, Garrett's done more due diligence in this decision than it's over the top, because he wanted to make the right decision. And the landscape is changing so fast that doing a five-year agreement gives the flexibility that's needed. Because if you lock in for 10 to 15 years to one of these multimedia players out there that do it on a national level, then you really are stuck with them. And so the beauty is that we're married for a few years, but, you know, we also have a look in after three that gives us both an opportunity. I'm a big believer that being local and buying local and supporting local is what it takes. And that's what we're going to do.
Hi guys, Sydney Berger with ABC 30. I'm curious, when you're constructing Bulldog Sports Enterprises, if you're looking at other schools either in the Pac-12 or across the country, when you're deciding what pieces you do want to incorporate, what you want to steer away from, kind of just how you form Bulldog Sports Enterprises that way.
I'll let you answer it, but I would say briefly no, because no one's doing it like us. So yeah, I'm not afraid to copy, imitate, and repeat. I'm the first one to admit that most good ideas come from other people, but it still has to fit your brand and how it works for your own enterprise. But Chris is
we're unique. We have a unique situation. Not too many providers have access to a radio station or a bunch of sign companies. So those two things are in critical components of what we do. That's going to give us some economy of scales. It's going to give us an opportunity to do things probably more efficiently because we have that. So I'm excited about the fact that we had alignment for the opportunity for him to bring it local and to make it a heck of a lot easier than it would have been with somebody without those benefits.
Speaking to the uniqueness of this deal, do you see this kind of the future moving into what other colleges may be copying in the model and how it'll look and, you know, the picking of ideas from you? Or talk about just the idea of what this future could look like with the way this is being run.
Yeah, I mean, a little history lesson. I think Michigan State, they're with Playfly now, but they're one of the last to have their multimedia rights in-house. And so when I was exploring this in Nebraska, I leaned heavily on them. And then when we announced, I had calls from both Rutgers and Clemson that have entered similar agreements.
Arizona just did it too?
Arizona, you're correct. Arizona is doing as well. And Stanford and Arizona State were a little bit that way. The one thing, we can sit here and puff our chest, think it's going to be the greatest thing in the world for us. We don't know. Time will tell. But if it is, and when it is the greatest thing in the world, I hope other schools don't do it because I want to be able to have an advantage on them. But I do think schools, the third-party rights holder do have a considerable advantage because they take some expenses off the books. And quite honestly, I told Chris this a million times, if I had the budget to be able to bring this thing 100% in-house, I probably would have done it. I would have leaned on him heavily for his expertise. But we are very fortunate to have someone like Chris in this market with the businesses that he represents and he has ownership stake in. And so I think that's really important to point out. So but the flexibility is going to be key. Let's face it. Student athletes being able to monetize their name, image, and likeness, this gives us that flexibility. And I think that can be a really competitive advantage for us.
And just lastly on that, with the NIL and the players and the fans always worry about the retention of players, but mm-hmm. does this, in relation to that with the NIL, give this a better deal for these players and how the players can be retained? We've had a good retention rate so far in some programs, but, just seeing in the future and what people fear as fans of athletes leaving.
We're a long ways from competing with some of those A4 schools, but our goal is to catch up and surpass them. And so it's a process. And so, I can speak on behalf of our coaches. They don't recruit kids that are coming here just for paychecks. But the reality is some of the dollars that they're receiving from other schools can be life-changing money if they invested the right way. And we're not there to step in their way and get in their way. If they feel like there's another better fit for them, then we're not going to force someone to stay or want for it. We want people that want to be Bulldogs. I mean, it's an incredible honor to wear that Bulldog in your jersey. And so we're not going to fight kids that want to leave here. We're going to coach the kids up that want to be here.
I would also add that there's definitely going to be some attrition. When somebody has something for 20 years, you're not going to retain all of those sponsors and businesses for whatever reason. But I can promise you this, we will call on a ton of new business and we will do it every day. So I'm optimistic that we can really grow this thing, but I'm also a realist. This is the business community in Fresno will support Fresno State. They just have to be asked. And we're going to definitely do that a lot more than maybe what's been done in the past.
And real quick, I know we're done with questions, right, Sav? I'd be remiss if I didn't give a sincere thank you to Mike Mariano and his team. Mike is an incredible Bulldog, loves his place, cares deeply about this place, and has been an incredible partner in just my 20 months here, but I know he has a longer history here, and his team as well. So, change is never easy. In fact, it's always very difficult, but we wouldn't make change unless it was for the best interest of this university. So I just want to say thank you to Mike and his team for the service he's given Fresno State Athletics over. I don't even know how long he's been here, 10-plus years probably.
Long time.
So
appreciative of what he's done.
So absolutely. Thank you, everyone. Go Dogs.
All right, there you heard it. And we'll break it all down next. So stay with us. Behind the Bench returns on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. We just aired that press conference, Fresno State announcing a partnership with Bulldog Sports Enterprise, which is going to be a partnership involving a pseudo in-house agency that will grant Fresno State control, as described by Garrett Classic, control over its intellectual property and brand assets. And that all sounds fine and dandy. It's going to be very exciting for all of us here and exciting for Fresno State moving forward as we move into a different era of media rights and what that'll look like at the local level. And I think the key takeaways, at least for me, is that this is good to see. I think businesses are incentivized, especially when you spend money at a local school like Fresno State. You want to know that your money is staying around as much as possible as opposed to somewhere else. And at least this allows you to have in your consciousness that. And I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of this moving forward. Good on Classy to buck the trend on that situation. I got Tam Veer here joining me now. We got Daniel here. We got Jorge here. So this is the crew for the next hour before we take you up to Giants baseball. But Tam Veer, good to have you in on a Wednesday. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
I got the wrong microphone on. Dang it. I'm slipping a little bit. Here we go. All right. There we go.
All right.
Now you can hear yourself.
Can I hear myself?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I can. All right. Yeah, I'm doing good, you know. Congrats to you guys.
Yeah.
And all that. And, yeah, hopefully this will be a flourishing thing in the future.
Yeah, and most importantly, a lot of people are worried about Paul Loeffler's job security. I will rest assured that he is around. He will be with us in the capacity moving forward. But, Daniel, good to have you here as well. Daniel, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, just I'm excited for some baseball
tonight. I know. You're itching to talk about it. We'll get to that.
But I'm happy about everything that's going on for you guys.
Thank you. Jorge, how you doing, man?
I'm doing.
You doing?
He's doing.
Cool.
I'm here.
Chilling. You excited?
Yeah. You know, they won.
His enthusiasm is bouncing off the walls.
I know.
And I love it.
You got something you want to say, Jorge?
No, he's fine. We'll get the Yankee fan and the Giants fan going at it over there in a little bit. So, exciting stuff. Fresno State making that announcement. And like I said at the top, it is key in college athletics to know where the money's going and following the money as much as you possibly can. And I think too much, too often, you see especially with a multimedia rights deal like this, when it's coming together with, a big conglomerate like, Learfield back in the day, this just feels like a different way to go about business for Fresno State. I really appreciate seeing the idea that, like, guys can go advertise and NIL deals and athletes can go and actually wear the logo as opposed to kind of having to skirt around everything. Fresno State now owns that ability to use the logo, pump up what they're advertising with their partners, and now Fresno State can create better deals with stuff moving forward with their athletics. And as you know, if things get a little bit better for everybody, the money can start flowing a little bit better for everybody. And when that money starts flowing a little bit better, you can throw it at some fun little new toys to the athletic department.
Yep.
Building it incrementally, as they say, because this, everyone knows, this department needs money outside of anything with Fresno State.
Doesn't everybody.
Yeah. So done a good job so far, but it's going to be an exciting step moving forward with Fresno State. Anyways, let's just reset now. I'm going to reset a little bit more. And so what I'm going to do now, as we have everybody here, is we're going to take another break. And now we're going to get back to the topics of the day and go over some of the sports conversation, including Giants baseball coming up, including some other action going on tonight. Lakers starting in about 20 minutes. So we got a lot of conversation moving forward here on 1430. So let's take another break. Yes, another one. And we'll be back with more show on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We'll be right back. to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, taking up to Giants baseball tonight. 4:35 pregame with a 5:05 first pitch from San Francisco. And it's been a little bit of a different pace of the show, but we're here now and we're talking about the big top topics of today. And let's just get into it, because this is the only time we're going to hit outside of baseball conversation, because the next half hour, starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to just go into baseball and dive into that. So Tanvir's here. We got Daniel here. Tanvir, you are destroying everybody in bracket picks right now.
Yes.
How are you feeling now at the top of the world in basketball fandom?
Absolutely elated. You know, I went into it thinking, you know, I'm going to destroy everybody, and backing it up is kind of, you know, helping my ego out a little bit, I think.
You and I were texting throughout the weekend, and there were some miserable moments for me and some elating moments for you. I had some rough takes.
I got High Point right.
Yeah.
The USF loss really made me mad.
I was,
because you're averaging 88 points a game, and then you're starting to shoot 17% in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing right now?
I'm glad both of us were on VCU.
Yes, at least VCU,
that was the crossover.
Was a sixth biggest comeback victory in NCAA history. Yeah, 19 down. So a couple of big wins by teams that I thought they were going to win. And I don't know how well I'm going to do for the rest of the bracket, because I got some upsets in this Sweet 16. But, you know, I'm sitting on top, and I can only admire myself at that point.
Yeah, Daniel's toiling down with me. This is the bottom three right here. Daniel, Jorge, myself, we are doing the worst out of the entire office.
In the pit of despair.
And yet we still all have our champions, still alive.
There you go.
Still, I thought Jorge picked Gonzaga for some reason. I had it in my mind, but you did not. You picked St. John's.
Yeah, for the Final Four?
Yeah, why not?
Or the champions.
No, I had
for the champions.
Yeah, championship I had St. John, but for Final Four, I think I had Gonzaga too.
I don't know. I'd be crazy enough to think about a St. John's run. Wouldn't that be something? Mm. It would blow up a lot of men, including mine. The Blue Devils playing them.
Almost picked St. John's.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm still devastated over Santa Clara.
That's tough.
The ending of that game, the way that was consumed, it was. I didn't even watch it. I didn't even watch the end of it. I came back because I was at Fresno State.
Yeah, I was texting
practice,
you about the game.
And I got back, and it was an overtime. And Jorge's like, "Did you see what happened?" And I'm like, "No, I was interviewing Matt Entz. I'm sorry.
I was doing my job.
I was doing my job. I was a little preoccupied with the football team, but." That was gnarly. That was nuts.
Yeah.
So what we got here? NCAA matchups. We got eight games over the next 2 days. If we're going to look for a game here, if I present to you. Okay. Actually, let me do this real quick. I'm going to type out, I'm going to search up the games for tomorrow and then for Friday. We're going to go. I'm going to give the four games out for tomorrow, and we're going to pick the one that's going to be the craziest game of the day. Like the must-watch game. I think we did this last week with Joe, where we were previewing the first weekend, and we were like, all right, this is the one I'm locking into the most. This is the one I'm into. So let's do that exercise real quick. Tomorrow's slate. At 4:10, you got Texas-Purdue leading us off. Then at 4:30, you have Iowa-Nebraska. Just a good old-fashioned Midwestern fight there. Arkansas-Arizona at 6:45, and then Illinois-Houston at 7:05. Objectively speaking, I know you're a little biased to Arkansas, Tanvir, but objectively speaking, what's going to bring the most current? Which game is going to have the moment?
I think it's going to be Arkansas-Arizona, regardless of what I think. I think you have the best backcourt in the NCAA in Malik Thomas and Darius Acuff Jr. versus probably the best roster in the NCAA in Arizona, and so you're going to get a lot of fireworks from this game. I think both of these teams have the ability to win and make a deep run into the tournament. And so I think this is going to be a close game. I think Arkansas, regardless of the opponent, have played a lot of close games over the last couple of weeks, even in the SEC championship against teams like Vanderbilt or even High Point last week. So I think this is going to be a very entertaining game. And Arizona's a team, you know, they played okay against Utah State, played okay against LIU, but they were able to get out wins. I think they're going to be finally tested in this matchup against Arkansas.
I am so locked in on Iowa, Nebraska.
That is a you matchup.
I am right there with it. I cannot wait for this one. The 3-point shot for Iowa has been a lot of fun to watch, and their ability to just kind of stay within it, and of course their ability to beat Florida this past weekend when certain outlets just didn't even scoff at the idea of Iowa beating Florida.
Yeah,
which is insane. But if I had to rank it, yeah, Arkansas, Arizona seems like the juiciest one of them all. Iowa, Nebraska for me, at least number two. Number three, probably Illinois, Houston.
That's going to be a really good game. I think both of those teams are such just dominant teams that they can do anything in this tournament. They can win. Both these teams can win the tournament.
Absolutely.
But I think Houston just has the advantage because they are playing in Houston.
Texas is probably going to get run out of the building, right? With that veteran Purdue team?
Yeah.
I'm not standing for this. I'm not standing
Which one?
For this.
For Texas?
I want Texas to win. I've
I
got,
know you want Texas
I'm
to win.
I'm cool with Texas winning.
Everybody, you know, you want an 11 seed to just throw the wrench into it, but come on.
Hey.
Purdue's got like 25-year-olds on that team. Come on, man.
I don't know if you heard me last week. I said I have a random disdain for the Purdue Boilermakers going back to Zach Edey. So I wouldn't mind a Texas win. But again, if Purdue's the team that comes out on top, I'm not really caring, because I think the winner of the Arizona-Arkansas game is going to win that game regardless.
All right, let's go to Friday slate. St. John's Duke leads us off at 4:10. We got a Rose Bowl rematch from 2 years ago, Alabama-Michigan at 4:35. How about Michigan State and UConn at 6:45, and then Tennessee and Iowa State 7:10. I definitely have one on the top of my mind. Where are you at, Tanvir?
Tennessee-Iowa State is the game I'm looking forward to. Both of these teams can shoot the lights out. You got Jacoby Gillespie on one side. Momchilovich and those Iowa State boys are playing so well so far in this tournament. And so I think both of these teams can shoot the lights out of this ball. I think Tennessee can sometimes play down to their opponents, but they've played Virginia and Iowa State, two higher-seeded teams. So I think they'll match up really well.
I'm into Michigan State, UConn.
That's a good one too.
I think it's Fears, right? The guy that's
Jeremy
Michigan.
Fears, yeah.
Yeah, he's been pretty good in this tournament. Just the Dan Hurley-ness of all with UConn and that crew. And who's the player that's had like almost a 30-30 game for them?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember his name though. Yeah, he's the center, obviously.
He's had the on again, off again kind of tournament so far for UConn. I'm going to try to see if I could pull up the stat line he had against Furman, because it was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Let's see. What do we got? Terrace Reed. Yeah. Terrace Reed, the center for them. That dude can bully some people. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what that matchup will look like. So I would put that one at number one. Then I think you convinced me with Iowa State, Tennessee. Then I'm at Duke St. John's. And
Duke St. John's will be fun just because of the matchup between Rick Pitino and Duke, just being that blue blood.
Right.
But I think the other two games are definitely more.
Bama, Michigan?
No, I think Yaxel is going to go crazy in that game. I think Michigan is rolling right now. You know, they lost to Purdue in the Big Ten Championship. Right. You know, winning conference championships. Everybody can't do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like Arkansas can do that. I don't know about Michigan.
Yeah, all right.
But I think they're playing so well right now, and I think they're going to destroy Alabama.
Defend your Wolverines? Come on. Hip of your Wolverines.
I can't really defend them. Like, I really don't know what happened.
I think they're
going to
win.
They're going to win, but, you know.
I really have hope for this team. You know, I was going into this tournament thinking, you know what, okay, we're going to enter it down. We're not going to get past the second round. And, like, look, we're here now. So I'm like, I think Yaxel is the core of this team. And him playing good is what makes his team good.
Nothing to Alabama absolutely just smoking Texas Tech?
No, I think when Texas Tech doesn't have their best player and topping. And so I'm not really going to take much from that, but – you know, I think Bama's a good team, but I just think Michigan is just playing at a different level.
Could have been the worst game I think we've ever seen end a weekend, just sitting there for seven minutes of Texas Tech, Alabama.
Thankfully, I was occupied by something else.
There you go. That's the way to do it. But what was your favorite game of the last weekend, real quick? What was, like, this past weekend?
Vanderbilt, Nebraska.
Yeah.
I love that game. I think just the ending to that game is absolutely ridiculous. So that's my game of the tournament so far.
Oh, man, there's so many good ones. Iowa, Florida, to me.
Yeah. VCU, North Carolina was fun.
Santa Clara, Kentucky, man.
That's another great one.
That one's that's the one I'm going to remember the most, I think.
I don't know if we have time, but real quick.
Yeah, we got a minute.
I wanted to say, I think that the upsets not being here hasn't really bothered me as much as to some people, because I think the games themselves have been so entertaining.
They have
been. Regardless of the team coming out on top.
Yeah.
And I think I've come to the realization that I could care less about the lower-seeded team winning as long as the game itself is such a fun game. You know, looking at High Point versus Wisconsin is kind of where I go with that.
It's almost like coin flip situation, and a lot of those situations
went towards the favor of the top teams,
yeah,
as opposed to the mid-majors. The mid-majors were not getting skunked.
No.
The result and result will show it.
Look at Duke Siena.
Yeah, exactly. No, we had competitive games in this tournament, despite what the perception of those schools are and where their levels are. I thought this tournament's been good so far. I don't think I'm necessarily – last year I was a little more worried. This year I'm not as like the sky is falling in college sports because no mid-major made it to the Sweet 16.
Right.
You know, Utah State almost gave us that. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do we're going to put our money where our mouth is with baseball. Talk about Giants, talk about our picks for the season, all leading up to Yankees, Giants from the Bay Area. Stay with us. Behind the Bench returns on 1430 ESPN.
Welcome to Banyan Tree, Fresno's favorite dispensary. Voted 2025's Best of Central California's People's Choice Award. Need some healing and relaxation? From flower to edibles, concentrate to vapes, we've got top-shelf products at down-to-earth prices. Whether you're a seasoned smoker or just canna curious, our knowledgeable staff will help you find your perfect match. So climb the Banyan Tree and see how high you can get today. Order ahead at BanyanTreeFresno.com for quick and easy pickup. Banyan Tree, rooted in quality, grown in Fresno.
Citizens Business Bank is a proud sponsor of the Fresno State Bulldogs. Hi, I'm Susan Woosner, Senior Vice President and Manager of Citizens Business Bank in Fresno. We proudly support California's thriving small to medium-sized businesses. Our relationship-based approach and straightforward business model set us apart in the financial services industry. We are a banking partner that understands your industry and your company. Whether you're expanding operations or planning for the future, Citizens Business Bank is here to help ensure your banking experience is smooth, convenient, and aligned with your success. My team strives to build long-term banking relationships by getting to personally know you and your business, and then providing you with a wide array of powerful solutions customized to your unique financial needs. Visit cbbank.com to learn how Citizens Business Bank can help contribute to your success. That's cbbank.com. Citizens Business Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
This tax season, make your refund go further at Fashion Furniture. Get up to $250 instantly towards your furniture purchase. From living rooms to bedrooms, even new outdoor furniture for spring, now is the time to save. Make your tax refund go further with up to $250 in instant savings towards your purchase. Only at Fashion Furniture. There's nothing like it in all of California.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader, leading you up to Giants opening day, which is within an hour here, getting underway on 1430 ESPN. Yankees, Giants, Judge, and Logan Webb, two of the Hallmark players that are from that Team USA squad that are now facing each other by the Bay. You want to listen to that game right here on 1430, that's the way to do it. I know not everybody has Netflix, and if you're thinking about watching the game, that's where it's going to be, folks. So tell your grandparents if they're looking for it. That's where it is. God help them. We got the game on 1430 right here, right now, starting at about 30 minutes pregame, and then a 5:05 first pitch from San Francisco. So that's what we got you for you there. Danvers here. We got Daniel over here as well. We got Jorge. And ain't it fitting? We got a Yankee fan. We got a Giants fan behind the glass. With a Dodgers fan and a Red Sox fan. Ain't that something? Look at that.
That is quite the thing.
The bitter rivals.
I know.
Wow.
Separated by glass.
Separated by glass. This is how we had to do it, right? Make sure we weren't throwing fisticuffs at each other
at least for the beginning portion of this season.
Fisticuffs?
Fisticuffs. I just said fisticuffs. Yeah, a good use of fisticuffs.
Better hold me back, Jorge.
Yeah, hold you back. I don't know. How are you feeling, Daniel? Opening day, Yankees, Judge, by the Bay. How are you doing?
You know, I'm excited, you know. It's another Yankee season, you know. Granted, not many changes this offseason, but I'm still excited, nothing less. You know, Gerrit Cole was supposed to be back.
Yeah, then he saw Rafi Devers was in the lineup, so.
But anyways,
his poppy.
I'm glad this lineup doesn't have Volpe in it today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to see how this start of the season goes without Volpe in it.
Uh-huh.
And if they decide to put him in, then I hope he's improved.
When Jazz Chisholm throws it two rows up into the stands after is he playing shortstop tonight?
Jazz is playing second, I think.
Oh, even better.
Oh, Lord. He's just going to show off his jewelry today. No, I saw some ad for, like, one-piece jewelry, and it's like, will he show off his new one-piece stuff? And I'm like, why does this matter?
Great Britain's finest, Jazz Chisholm.
Shocked the world.
Yeah, shocked the world. That's what he said. Really did. Jorge, how are you feeling? Giants baseball gets it going tonight. Tony Vitello era underway.
Tony Vitello era. I don't know.
How are you feeling?
I'm trying to see what he does, you know.
Everybody
was there. I saw that Posey and Bochy were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking, see what's up.
There you go.
I feel like it's going to – I mean, he has weapons to do something different than
certainly does.
You know, the other coaches. So maybe he can, and hopefully he will.
He has a track record at Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, yeah.
And so Tennessee's been a good baseball college for the last couple of years. So.
This is the great experiment about it, though, right? Because no college coach has ever made this
right.
Fast of a leap up to Major League Baseball. So we're going to really learn some stuff here. That's an unfair pressure on him, I know, but that's what it's going to be perceived.
I just feel like sometimes in those aspects, baseball could be like medieval sometimes, you know?
Right.
Just like a bunch of old people being old people.
It's very clicky.
Giving a chance to a guy that you know, out of college, then yeah, why not?
It's going to be – the great experiment begins tonight for Tony Vitello. And let's be honest, snoozing Bob Melvin, I wasn't quite down with him. Snooze alarm Bob Melvin. I was just falling asleep at his pressers the last 2 years. So no offense to Bob. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I just was not down with the program with him because the Giants seem to fall asleep every bit of the half year that they played good baseball and didn't play good baseball. So we'll see if the Giants have the fire to start this year with it. Giants lineup, this is what it's going to look like tonight. You guys ready for it? Luis Arraez, he's playing second tonight. All right. Luis Arraez playing first, batting first. He's playing second. You got Chappie batting second, playing third. You got Devers in the DH spot, batting third. You got Willie Adames batting fourth in the cleanup spot, playing short. Jung-Hoo Lee going to be in that five spot, playing right field tonight. Elliot Ramos, guess what? First guy to start two consecutive years in left field for the Giants since who? Barry Bonds.
Wow.
He's him. Elliot Ramos. Here he is. He's arrived. He's batting sixth and playing left. Casey Schmidt is going to be your seven-hole batter and playing first base. You got Patrick Bailey behind the plate batting eighth and maybe the underrated pickup of the year for the Giants. Harrison Bader playing center tonight, and he's batting ninth at the bottom. Yankee legend Harrison Bader.
Ooh, he's a traitor.
He's not a traitor. He has every right. You barely had any time with him. He's had a cup of coffee with the Yankees.
I used to call him the Darth Bader.
Good. I don't know.
Well, now he's in San Francisco. So
Logan Webb on the mound tonight. How do we feel about that lineup? To me, in all grand scheme of everything, this has been an underperforming lineup to me for the last couple of years. This is all in. There's so much money on this lineup right now that the Giants have to make it work in some form or fashion. I feel like Luis Arraez at least allows them to have a guy who puts the ball in play as opposed to that backbreaking strikeout they always seem to have in the lineup. Just get generated runs, get balls in play, make the pressure on the defense. And guess what? They play a team that I would say you're most advantageous to put the ball in play against this weekend because the Yankees stink at defense. And you know it, Daniel.
Quiet. Be quiet.
You know they stink at defense.
Still do. Yeah. Somehow.
It's how they lost the World Series. Literally, every person in that field couldn't make a basic routine play for the Yankees. So the Giants are going to find success in these next 3 days in San Francisco. It's about putting the ball in play. But I hear that lineup, and that to me screams like that's a playoff caliber lineup for the Giants. The matter is how they avoid the lulls and where they can avoid the pitfalls, especially with this early part of the season for the Giants. Looking at their schedule, have you seen their schedule starting, Tanvir? Have you?
No.
Listen to this.
What's this schedule looking
like? It's pretty rough with the caliber of opponent. You start at home with the Yanks, then you go to the Pods, who you know
tough game.
Then you're at the, home again with the Mets, who are supposedly this next great World Series team.
Dodgers without the success.
You got the Phils, who we know very good. Orioles, you're in Baltimore after that.
New team.
We know the Orioles could bounce back. Cincinnati, that's a hot team. You're in Cincy.
Yeah.
The Nationals, young team, probably you could
beat them. That's a good game.
And then you're home with the Dodgers. So from here till April 23rd, which is exactly a month – almost exactly a month. The Giants have a pretty tough stretch of baseball ahead of them. However, I said this last year on the same kind of deal because their schedule was pretty similar last year, and they managed to have an awesome April.
Yeah.
So
started out real well.
They did. They were first place team. They were able to wave the flag and present it proudly.
It's about keeping that consistency though with this team. As you said, a lot of money that has been poured into this lineup, and you're looking a little Cincinnati Bengals-ish if you don't really convert on this type of lineup, right? Luis Arraez is in there now. You still have Devers, who came in from last year, looking to improve on what he did. It kind of looked like a shell of himself in the Giants uniform at the end of or near the end of last year. And so I think, as you said, this team has the capability to make a playoff. I just think getting that consistency by this lineup is going to be what's key. Because I think the pitching, even last year, I thought the pitching was pretty good.
Yeah. How about 29 mil for Devers in the infield? How about 25 mil just this year? That's what I'm saying. Annual salary.
Right.
29 mil to Devers at first base. Matt Chapman's got 25 mil this year at third base. You got Willie Adames making 13 mil at shortstop. You got Luis Arraez making 12 mil. I don't know if there's another infield that's making more money than the San Francisco Giants infield. And I've argued that offensively, in concept, I think they are the best offensive infield in baseball. If you think pound for pound how it's going to look. But are they the best defensive infield? Well, about half of that infield is really good at defense. Luis Arraez is kind of a pit. And we know Devers is learning a new position. So the outlook for the Giants, I want to go around the room here. Who in your mind is the most important Giant for this season, for their success of their season? We could start with the fan in this room, Jorge. Who, in your opinion, this year, who is the most important Giant to their success this year if they are going to make a playoff run?
If they're going to make a playoff?
Yeah.
I don't think there's one exactly, but I think
this is not the rules of the game. I make the rules of the game, Jorge. You pick one player.
I picked the pitching staff.
Okay, who on the pitching staff? Give me one. Give me one name.
Logan Webb.
All right, why not? All right, Logan Webb. That's fine. Cool. Logan Webb, high success rate. He's been very consistent for the Giants.
If he succeeds, then the rest of the team are going to have a good. You know, they're going to start with a win.
Yeah.
On the series. So.
Well, of course, you want to start off on the right foot.
Right.
All right, Logan Webb is your nominee. Daniel, if you're from the Giants' perspective, you look at this rotation, this lineup, who in your mind is the most important Giant to the success of this season if the Giants want to make the playoffs?
I think it's Arraez to me.
Luis Arraez?
Yes. I think so because obviously he was one of their targeted pickups this offseason, and I think him being in that one hole is just very important with the type of battery he is always getting on the base. You know, he doesn't strike out much, so if he can keep that consistency up, I feel like this offense generates a lot of potential to score a lot with him.
What about for you, Tim Veer? Most important Giant.
Anytime I get a conversation like this, I always look at the guys that are kind of that second tier behind those first tier players that you expect are going to be there. I mean, this could be a first tier player, obviously, but Willie Adames, I think, is a guy that can really change the momentum for this team. You have some good hitters on this squad, but if he's cooking as well, that just adds to another offensive piece to this lineup that needs runs, especially in this early part of the year. So that's who I'm going to go with.
That's a good pick. I was between a couple of guys. I got to pick one. I am going to go. I kind of said it last year. Jung-Hoo Lee continues to be the guy with what he's making, $22.8 million. He's got to justify that price tag. He's making $20 million plus for the next 4 years. This is a contract that's starting to look a little glaring for the Giants on their books. If he is not going to do what I think he is hoping to do with the San Francisco Giants team, and he's batting fifth in this game tonight. Yeah. He got off to a hot start last year. He was on an outside chance for an MVP a month in. He was on the odd sheet of MVP opportunity because he had a great April. But the fall off was real with Jung-Hoo Lee. And to me, it consistently sits with him and what he is now. And unfortunately, he's playing right now. He's not going to be the primary center fielder, but he's been really awesome defensively from times. But his bat has to go. He has to be more consistent in his contact. He has to be more consistent in his ability to kind of be a threat in that lineup, in my opinion. But if I had to do a second honorary pick, Devers kind of – I know he's an obvious one.
I mean,
he hasn't been exactly who he was coming out of Boston. But then again, a new year, clear head, starting in San Francisco. I believe that'll be a key aspect of their success. So Giants, Yankees coming up in a little bit. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do official Major League Baseball predictions. Put the money where your mouth is. Division winners, playoff teams, World Series winners. Next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play this when the Yankees lose 9-0 tonight.
I'm leaving today.
Yeah.
I'm sending you this clip. I'm sending you the song. Oh, yeah.
They're winning tonight.
No chance. I don't know. There could be a chance. There certainly is a chance. I don't know.
Small chance.
I'm just trying to troll. I told Daniel this, and Tanvir, I don't know. I follow a Red Sox trolling account that just loves to troll the Yankees. I feel like I'm locked in more on knowing what happens with the Yankees based off this Red Sox trolling account, the amount of times he clowns the Yankees on Twitter. This I don't know if you follow. Cutter is King is one of my favorite Twitter accounts out there. And if you're a Red Sox person, this guy is the undefeated goat of troll accounts in any form and capacity of the word. He just shoves Yankee fans in the lockers, man. That's all he does.
I mean, I can't even blame him. It's funny. I find it funny as a Yankee fan. And like you said it too. It's like any Yankee fan page that tries to come back at him, they just can't.
They can't. There's every single time the dude's got a rebuttal. It's insane. Yeah. I love it. All right, let's do some official predictions. So how I want to do this is we're going to go division by division. We're going to make a pick for a winner. And also, if you want to add that there's a playoff team that's coming out of this division as well, then we'll make that proclamation. Reminder, pick three division winners, and then you can have three wild cards, however you want to do it. So keep track of that for you guys individually if you can. So we're going to start in the AL East. I'm going to be a homer. I think this Red Sox pitching staff is going to be insane. And Roman Anthony is going to be that dude this year. In the lineup, on top of everything else, this lineup is deep. It's hard to have an easy at bat if you're a pitcher facing this Red Sox lineup. In my mind, I think the Red Sox have a legit chance. I'm not just blowing smoke up. You know what? I think the Red Sox have a legit chance to win this division. I will also pick the Yanks to be the wild card out of this division.
I am going to disagree with both of you because I know what your pick's going to be. I'm going to say the Toronto Blue Jays do it again. I think that, yes, losing Bo Bichette is a loss, but you get Dylan Cease, who's a really good pitcher. And I think that they're still going to bring the power back into this lineup for a team that didn't really have Bo Bichette for a large majority last year. And so I think they're still going to be a good team. I'm going to say the New York Yankees are a wild card team in this division. Sorry, I'm not going to have the Red Sox in my playoffs.
All right. Okay. What do you got?
Contrary to both your guys' belief, I am not picking the Yankees to win this division.
Oh, okay.
He hates his team.
I'm picking the Orioles to have a comeback
season. I like
that.
Who's pitching for him?
I think Trevor Rogers.
I will.
All right. Sounds good.
But I think I just think they've had a great offseason so far, and I think they're trying to rebuild what they had, 2 years ago when they were making the playoffs?
Yeah.
I think the additions that they've made, You know, I think Henderson's going to be he's developing great. And I think they just go out and win. It'll be a close. I think this division's a dogfight this year. But I think Orioles make it and Yankees in the wild card.
Honorable mention, I think the Rays could be a weird, fun, interesting. Junior yeah. Caminero's a dude.
Whole team yeah. is just
– And they're back
oh,
at
whole
the
division,
trop.
I should say.
They're back it's at so the Trop, fun. And that's a pitcher-friendly park yeah. for the Rays. AL Central, they didn't win the division last year, contrary to popular belief in how well they played all year up until the final couple of weeks. I got the Tigers finally getting the job done.
Yeah.
They win a division. I have no one else making this division into the playoffs. So I got the Tigers winning it.
Absolutely putrid division this yeah, is. Rough. Detroit Tigers for me as well. I think that the returning players are good enough to get what they did last year. I mean, they got into the playoffs. They were, I mean, battling.
Beat the Guardians.
Beat the Guardians in basically a division matchup
yeah.
that was for the division crown. But yeah, I think the Tigers are still good enough to get it done in this year, so I'm going to go Tigers as well.
Yeah, I'm taking Tigers as well. This division is not great at all, and I think Skubal has just a Cy Young, possibly MVP year, and that's all I got to put.
Yeah, I had the MVP thing too. All right. AL West, I got to pick three teams because I have three teams left. I'll do a chalk a little bit here. I got the Mariners winning this division, and the teams that are going to make the playoffs, I like the A's to make the playoffs, and I like the Rangers to make the playoffs this year. I think the Stros crash out a little bit more. So Rangers, A's, Mariners winning this division. That's my two wild cards coming in.
I have it similar. I do have the Mariners winning the division, but I have the Astros and the A's making the playoffs.
Let's go.
So I also have the A's. They are currently at a plus 1,300 to win their division, which I think is a bit rich, but I will say I think this A's team has got a lot of fun players on it that I think can make a splash this year. So
Nick Kurtz MVP?
Yeah, right? Nick Kurtz MVP. They got some dogs down there, so I'm going to say the A's as well.
Let's go. What do you got, Daniel?
Hey, guys, we're missing a team.
What do you got?
I'm not giving them their credit. No, but I got the Rangers
You're
winning
not going
this division.
The Angels.
I told you this last week. I think they're winning, and I have the A's and the Mariners both making the playoffs.
So you got the Rangers coming out on top on that division. That's all right. All right. NL East. I'm going to pick the Phillies to win this division. I think their pitching is still so strong, even losing Ranger Suarez. But I think some continuity. Schwarber back. I just love it. I'll pick the Mets to make the wild card out of that NL. Begrudgingly, I think they'll get back into some form or fashion. They did add what's his name, Freddie Peralta, to this rotation. So I think that's a little bit of a nice peak for them. So Phillies winning the division, Mets are a wild card.
Okay, I also have the Phillies winning this division, but I got two other wild card teams out of this. I'm going to go with the Mets as well, and I'm also going to go with the Atlanta Braves.
All right.
Sure, they lost Jurickson and Profar, but I still think that this team is, you know, if healthy, good enough to make a run at this. And I think that they're going to be good behind Ronald Acuña Jr., who's coming off of a World Baseball Classic win. I think he's going to ride that momentum into the season, have a great year for himself. So I got the Braves and the Mets making the playoffs with the Phillies winning the division.
Yeah, so I only have two teams out of this division. I think things finally go their way for the Mets this year, and I think they win this division. I think they win it by a solid 10 games. And I have the Braves. I have the Braves only making the wild card. I think things are just going to go wrong for Philly this year. Just something's not right in the water over there, and they're not going to make it.
Okay.
NL Central, this is a really hard division to figure out, and I want to have a little fun with it. I'm going to go bold here. I think this is a strange year in the NL Central. I think there's been some additions to this team I really enjoy. I think there's a really good deep pitching staff for this team I'm about to talk about. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates, if they call up Connor Griffin in the next month, this team is winning a division that I feel is completely wide open, and I think they're the solo team out of the NL Central. The Pittsburgh Pirates will win the NL Central here in a pretty wide open spot.
Wow. I am going to go with the team that won or didn't win the NL Central last year, but they were good enough, I think, to win it. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs. Just got PCA re-signed, I believe. Yeah. And I think that, you know, just up and down that team, you just look at the players and it's just a bunch of amazing, outfielders. I think even losing Kyle Tucker.
I'm worried about that.
That is a concern for sure, but I still think they'll edge it out at the end. And I think they'll win this division.
And I'm worried about the longevity of Bregman. That's the other
one. Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Now he's not a Red Sox.
Now you're not worried.
Now I'm like, all right.
Or now you are worried, I should say.
Bregman's like a 33. He can't go ahead.
He can go a couple more years.
What do you got, Daniel?
But I was going to say the Cubs too, but I have two teams coming out of this division as well.
Okay.
I was going to say the Cubs winning the division, but I argue that the Reds make the wild card this year.
I was almost going to pick them.
I didn't, but then Hunter Green's out till June, so I can't do it. But outside of that, they could be a viable team. NL West, let's all say it together. Who's winning this division?
The D-backs. The Dodgers are going to win this.
We're all picking. Okay.
Shocker.
Dodgers are going to win this division, and I think two teams come out of this division as playoff teams. I think the Pods certainly will be a wild card again. I'll ride them. This lineup has to work. I think the Giants do find a way to sneak into that wild card spot. They'll be a team that makes this division. This is to me is the carnage division, like the American League East side. Because even then, I think the Diamondbacks have really improved well. Don't sleep on Nolan Arenado being on that team. That's all I got to say. And those teams will inflate their win total because they got to play the Rockies, and they'll just have a lot of fun beating up on the Rockies. So
yeah.
Dodgers, Padres, Giants, I got them all making.
So I have a little bit of a shocker in this one. Obviously, Dodgers are going to win. I have the Giants making the playoffs, and I have the Padres just missing out behind the Braves. That is obviously a shocking pick, but I also think the Giants are much improved. I do believe that they will beat up on the Rockies, as you said, but I agree with you. I think this pitching rotation is good, and I think that the lineup that they have, I think they will finally figure it out by the back end. And I think the Padres, regardless, they have a great team, but I feel like this is a 1 year where they just have a weird season, and I just think the Giants take advantage of that. So there's my shocker.
I'm standing on what I said last week. Padres winning the division, Giants making it right behind them.
And no Dodgers?
No Dodgers. I told you this last week. Pitching staff is going to go crazy, and it's not going to be well.
Kick him out.
Drug test this man.
So blasphemous.
All right, who gave him my mic? Who's winning the World Series? We got a minute here. Let's go. Why not, Daniel? Whatever. Go.
Yankees.
All right. Over who?
Give me the Braves.
Okay. Yankees over Braves. Tanvir, who do you got?
I have finally, after all these years, I think the Mariners do it. I think Seattle will finally get it done, even though they lost Gino Suarez. I just think they were so close last year, and I think they finally get it. I think they're going to beat the Dodgers in the World Series.
I will pick the Detroit Tigers to beat the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series this year. I think the Detroit Tigers are prime. They got Framber Valdez. I think that pitching staff's deep. Old man Verlander, one last ride. I love it. And plus that lineup's pretty solid too.
It is.
All right, guys. Excited.
One last year of baseball.
One last year of baseball. before the eventual
lockout.
Salvage it as much as you can. Savor it as much as you can. All right. Baseball starts next. Giants, Yankees. Thanks, guys, for swinging on by. Appreciate y'all. And Yankees, Giants coming up next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.